Welcome to The Rollins Way, the podcast that redefines consulting with a purpose-driven focus on delivering exceptional value. Join us as we explore the principles, people, and projects shaping the future of infrastructure management. This is where innovation meets purpose, and every conversation delivers insights to inspire. Let's dive in.
Welcome to The Rollins Way podcast. I'm your host, Dr. James Bryant, and I'm glad you're joining us today. I am pleased to welcome Paul Steinman, one of the first leaders to join Scott Rollins in establishing Rollins Infra Consult. Paul brings over 30 years of transportation leadership experience, having served in key roles with the Michigan DOT, the Florida DOT, and as Chief Operations Officer for the Idaho Transportation Department. In this episode, we'll discuss how Rollins Infra Consult identified the evolving needs of state DOTs and positioned itself to provide specialized advisory services. We'll explore how their approach, rooted in practical experience of former state DOT professionals, supports agencies across the full spectrum of transportation challenges, from policies to potholes. Paul, thank you for joining us. Can you share a little bit more about your background?
My career started with Michigan DOT, which is where I grew up. I grew up in Michigan. Spent 20 years with Michigan DOT, rose up through the ranks, got to be running one of their districts or one of their areas. Went down to Florida DOT to be the state construction engineer and did that through the ARRA timeframe, where we had to get $1 billion out the door in 9 months, which was really eye-opening for me, because the size of the program between Michigan and Florida are dramatically different. After a few years of being state construction engineer, I was given the opportunity to go out to Idaho and be their chief operations officer. I did that for 4 years working for Brian Ness, Idaho. And then came back to Florida to be the Tampa district secretary and did that for about 5 years. And my son was getting married up here in North Carolina, so we moved up to North Carolina and joined the consultant sector. Did that for 5 years. Scott and I had been working together. He was a sub to the prime that I was working with. And then we decided a few years ago to join forces and try to build around the sheer concept and the challenge of trying to take a one-man show and build it into a company is just too much for me to turn down. And then as our careers went different directions, we kind of lost touch with each other. And then lo and behold, we were both in North Carolina working with North Carolina DOT. Our paths crossed again, and he started talking about how he had this one-man operation and wanted to grow it, and he was looking for someone to grow it with.
Scott's focus a little bit more on the business development, relationship building piece, and your focus is more towards the operations and making sure that everything that is being promised on the business development side is being delivered on the execution. What were you doing when you guys met up in North Carolina? Where in North Carolina?
I was working for one of the big national firms, and Scott joined our team as a sub to the North Carolina DOT. That's when we reconnected and kind of forgot how well we worked together. Because even back in the day when we were with the DOT space, we worked really well together. So it was just a natural fit.
What drove that decision home for you to leave where you were to join Scott and build something new?
I'm one of these crazy people that just can't turn down the challenge. If you give me a crazy challenge and everyone says it can't be done, I'm like, why can't it be? How hard can this be? You pretty much, so I just jump in and go. Just love the challenge of it. Love working with people. I love helping DOTs improve. Part of the big value add that we add is the fact that our team is built around a whole bunch of folks that are ex-DOT. So our folks actually have sat in those chairs that these DOT folks are sitting in that we're helping. It's a differentiator for us versus a lot of firms, is that because of how Scott and I built the company and because we've been there, done that, the people we've selected are from varying sizes of DOTs too. So, for example, my wife and I are from Florida DOT as well. We've worked in the big mega DOTs, but we've got some folks that have worked in the smaller DOTs. So we can scale our products, and we understand that you need to, that just because you're all DOTs, you don't all do it the same. There's reasons you don't do it the same. So you can't come with a prepackaged product. You've got to sit down. You really got to listen to the client, understand what their needs are, and figure out how to make the solution scalable to what they can truly adapt to and produce.
Yeah, and that's pretty interesting. So this is one of the qualities that the Rollins employees really appreciate, is that DOT approach, that DOT-centric approach. You know, you guys know what's going on, all across the country, but you also understand some of the intricacies it takes to actually get stuff done in a state DOT in various different sizes.
I always tell people that it's pretty simple. It's just that Rollins can take care of you from policies to potholes. But as your need, we can tailor our approach, bring the right people in to help you solve whatever your issues are across the broad spectrum. That's really unique for who we are. The majority of the staff is ex-DOT. Every one of us bleeds DOT orange. When we give these recommendations, we're truly trying to figure out what's best with their unique circumstances. My job is to make you successful with what you're paying me to do today.
Can you talk about that differentiator between giving policy advice versus production?
Certainly. When you're with the DOT, and because all of us had come through the DOT space, everything revolves around what is the politics in the what your legislatures and everybody, what do they want to do? And how do you set your policies up in the department to be successful? And you don't really like your policies to be changing every 4 years with the political wind. So you got to find that happy medium where it can reach both sides of the aisle. Number one, we understand that Scott, myself, and a bunch of us have had to go talk to those legislative types and try to get them to understand that good transportation policy doesn't really have a red or a blue attached to it. It's what's best for the state. It's more long-term thinking. It's more long-term vision. And how can you take that long-term vision and the current needs of the day and make those two work? And so that's the difference between what we try to do versus a production firm, which is more interested in that particular project.
The way I'm understanding it, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the strong suits from Rollins' perspective is that you're able to come in, look at the policy side, see what needs to happen to help that client achieve their goals from a policy perspective. You're able to set up those recommendations and recommend specific programs, whether the asset management programs, paving programs, whatever the programs are. But Rollins is not in the business of executing on those programs or the product. Is that what you're talking about when you're talking about producing?
Yes, we don't do design. We don't do construction engineering inspection. Theoretically, we could set up policies and procedures that would drive money and stuff toward that side of the equation. But that's not who we are. We're helping. We bleed DOT orange. So our goal is to make that DOT successful long term so it can survive the various political winds. A great example, we worked with the DOT that they were really struggling to be able to produce their program. And so we broke it down into pieces as to why was it that they were struggling to get the percentage of their program out that they were promising to the legislature. So we broke it down into some various areas. First, we looked at what was their process for getting the program out the door. Secondly, we looked at with the brain drain that they were having, what did we need to do to get their people prepared to accept those new responsibilities and be effective in producing the program? And then three, how do you sell that to your legislature so that you can make sure that the money keeps coming at the rate needed to take care of the system? So what we did was we worked with this particular DOT to create project delivery network that increased their production to where this year they're actually producing 100% of what they promised their legislature. We've created proficiency programs that are taking their younger staff and as they're doing production work, it's helping train them so they're better prepared to do the larger projects and produce work more efficiently and effectively. And then from a legislative side, one of the things that we needed to do is we needed to help increase pay. And so we were able to work with the DOT. They actually reduced the number of staff they had, but we were able to take the rate from those staff that they reduced and pump that into pay raises, which also helped the employees, but it also was great from a legislative perspective because they're seeing a reduction in state employees.
Yeah.
But on the same token, they're getting better production on the backside. So it was a win across the board, but sometimes the answer isn't just one thing. It's a combination of pieces, and you have to be able to look across the spectrum and how can you help provide solutions in the various pieces so that you have the full circle of life that makes these things tick.
You mentioned this process of having younger employees being able to work on projects or get training. Can you talk about that more?
Certainly. What we worked with in this particular DOT is most DOTs are set up where you have to supervise people to get promoted to make more money. And not all people are created to be supervisors. Let's just word it that way. So what we worked with the DOT on is looking at how you can create career tracks, or we call it the career tree. So that once you've got past developing your core competencies at the base of the tree, then you can decide, do I want to go into the leadership track, which is supervising people? Do I want to go into a project management track where I'm not necessarily doing all the technical, but I'm managing the process? But then you have to create enough of a progression and a career path so that they want to stay. Because generally what happens is in this state government spaces, if you're not going to get promoted and you're not going to make enough money, then you need to go to the private sector. Yeah. So how do we keep people in the DOT space, develop those skill sets, develop these this younger staff? Because most DOTs will, if you look across the country, have a whole bunch of people with 25 more years experience. Then there's a huge gap, and then there's a bunch of people down to 10 or less. How do you bridge that gap? How do you prepare these people quicker, faster, and then also keep them so that they're making a living wage so that they want to stay with the DOT? Be those career DOTers that you're going to need to keep moving this process forward.
Okay. You guys have DOT experience, DOT know-how, but you're not necessarily trying to tell the DOTs exactly that they have to do it a particular way. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution, but you have the experience and expertise so that you can tell your solutions to the size, scale, and the situation that the DOT is facing.
So, one thing that we try really hard not to come in and say, I've got the solution for you. We try to listen. The key is to listen first, develop the relationship so that they trust you. You can be that trusted advisor so that they understand that I don't have an ulterior motive about, I'm going to give you this so that I get that down the line. And then just build off that relationship. There's going to come a point in time where we will leave the client. We look at people and say, hey, we're trying to get you to the point that you can be self-sustaining and you don't need us. That's another unique feature compared to some of the production firms in our space.
It's just a different approach to setting yourself up for the next job. You deliver value and quality in what you've been asked to deliver. And you set up a organization that can be a reference for you for future work because of your ability to deliver on what you promise. By your actions, by the quality with which you conduct your work and the values that you display, you set yourself up for future work through that interaction.
Exactly. And that's really the goal for us.
What's been the most fulfilling thing you've worked on since being at Rollins?
Really watching this one particular DOT really kind of grow into what the vision was, working with them and seeing them recognize that, okay, I can do this better. I can do this better. And then I've seen them do it and seeing the results. Just recently, we've got some of the numbers from working with this particular DOT. A great example is they didn't have a very successful young engineering program, like getting the young engineers out of college and progressing them through the system. The first year we were there, they did their recruitment and they got no kids that applied. This year, they had 20 positions and 90 kids apply. Because of the changes to the program and how we've put this together. Those marks in the sand where you can say, I had a hand in that. Seeing a DOT go from well below 50% in their production to this year producing 100% of what they've promised. I had a lot to do with how the process was put together so that they could be successful. That's what I get the most pride or joy from, just seeing all this work and actually seeing them be successful.
You've grown to over 40 people in just a few years.
It's kind of a funny story because when Scott and I started, we did this business plan. Our goal was in 3 years to have enough contracts to support 10 people. That was the goal. So when you got to 3 years and we had 40 people and enough contracts to support 40 people, we were like, well, we had no idea what we were getting into.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of cool that DOTs are recognizing that they're having these issues, they're having these gaps where they're, you know, they have a bunch of people retiring and everybody else is fairly young in the organization. They don't have those people with those, you know, 10 to 20 year type folks that are going to bridge that gap of leadership. And they're trying to figure out how to solve that problem. That's what Scott and I started recognizing, this messy transitional periods they're getting into, and what are their challenges. And so, and every DOT challenges are different. I mean, it's, some are flat out, it's just flat out money. We really got to work with them to get money. Some of it is they're still doing it the traditional way and not looking at risk-based approaches. We want to drive snowplows in the winter.
Yeah.
So how do you serve the public? Like I say, it's every DOT has got different challenges, and it's just been a lot of fun to, as rounds, we just look at it and say, well, how can we help them? And then in some cases, that means that we have to go out and find that expert that can, you know, be the voice. And that's really kind of how it just grew the way it did, is because every time we found something that we needed expertise for, we just went out and found that person we knew from our past history of 30 years in the transportation space, because the transportation world is really fairly small. Who's out there that fits our culture? The biggest thing that we talk about is we want a good team culture. We want people to feel valued. We want people to feel like this is more of a family atmosphere versus, you know, a lot of the bigger firms, it's who do you got to step on to get to the next run on the ladder. We don't want that. We want this to be very collaborative internally. It transcends to the client. But like we always say, if you're having problems at home, it's going to show up at the client, and that's what we don't want. So we try to support our team so they can be successful. We've got a great culture internally, so it transcends externally. Once they know that you can really be that trusted advisor, you can really help them.
Yeah.
They just ask you to do more. The biggest key is we don't do production work. So they know that when I give you a recommendation, there's no alternative motive to that. It's all about what's best for them. How do we make that DOT the best it can be?
Finding out or providing that advice that is focused on bringing value to that DOT for value's sake, because you're not doing the production work. So they can trust you. They know that you're straight up and there's no ulterior motive other than to see them succeed.
Exactly. And like I say, we scale it. That's the beautiful thing about when we're working as a team and scale it to the size and the desires of that DOT, so they can take advantage of that best practice, but still make it work for them.
So Paul, if there's one takeaway that you want the listeners of this episode to have, what would that be?
The biggest takeaway for me is that we're really here for the client, and that's what Rollins is about. If the client is successful, we're successful. That's the one thing I always tell the team, is that make sure you're listening, make sure you understand what the client truly needs, and truly listen to what they need, what their challenges are, and offer them some options that help guide them to the solution that's going to have the best long-term effect for the client. It's served us well so far. We hope to have more success. It's great to see these DOTs being able to improve and keep their constituency happy. It's good for the country. All the way around, what we do is very fulfilling, and happy to be able to help folks.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation with Paul Steinman. What stands out is Rollins' authentic DOT experience. Their team has sat in those chairs and understands the challenges from the inside. By focusing on policy rather than production, they serve as trusted advisors without ulterior motives. The results speak for themselves. Rollins helped transform one DOT from delivering less than 50% of promised projects to achieving 100% of their legislative commitments. They also revitalized a struggling recruitment program that initially attracted no applicants to now one that draws 90 qualified candidates for 20 positions. Tangible evidence of their approach in action. As Paul emphasized, if the client is successful, we're successful. Their goal isn't dependency, but helping DOTs become self-sufficient.
Thank you for tuning in to The Rollins Way. Remember, this podcast is for you, our incredible team. So if you have ideas or stories to share, let us know. Until next time, keep striving for excellence and delivering unmatched value.